Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is David Henshall. David is the president and chief executive officer of Citrix, a software company that counts 90% of the Fortune 500 as customers and has revenue exceeding $2.5 billion annually. As CEO, David has responsibility for overseeing the company's business functions, go-to-market activities, and the company's strategic, operational, and financial goals. He's been with the company for over 15 years and has held a variety of C-suite positions prior to becoming CEO, including the roles of COO and CFO. Prior to joining Citrix, he served as the chief financial officer of Rational Software Corporation. In this interview, David lays out his three strategic pillars as CEO. First, he's focused on driving an organizational and strategic shift from product to platform. Second, he's looking to move the company's product from on-premise to being cloud-first. And third, he's focused on a business model shift to move from perpetual licensing to a subscription model. We also discussed how Citrix's technology allows the company to be a virtual organization, the challenges of attracting the right employees and retaining them, the partnerships Citrix has developed over the years, and a variety of other topics. David, you're the president and chief executive officer of Citrix. Maybe take a moment, if you would, and describe the company's business.
Sure. So if you take a step back and you think about, you know, where we are right now, I mean, Citrix is just celebrating our 30th year in business, which is amazing. And as Karen said, I've been here for about 20 of those, approaching 20 of those. And as a company, you know, we've always really focused on connecting people and information and using technology to make it easier to get work done. That's really what we've been doing through that entire journey. As a company, as most people know, we started out providing remote access solutions and made our name inventing categories like app and desktop virtualization. And there's just been a lot of change over the last decade in the way that we work, obviously, and the types of technologies that people are using to do that. And so we, of course, are transforming our business, our product set, and our solutions to really address that changing landscape. And the issue that that all of our customers are dealing with is pretty straightforward, regardless of the size of the company or the industry. And it's effectively that, you know, work today is just more complicated. It's more challenging than ever from every different perspective. From an IT organization, they're just juggling this unprecedented complexity around technologies. For the company at a more macro level, they're, you know, struggling to compete with a relatively tight talent pool and then engage and drive productivity out of those teammates. And then for employees in general, in most cases, you're just overwhelmed by their environments. You know, we've taken technology and we've turned our best people into, I guess you could say, effectively task rabbits in the office. There's just way too many applications. They're too hard to use. There's distractions and digital exhaust everywhere. And it just leaves, you know, less and less time to drive meaningful work. So from their perspective, all that's really meant is a terrible user experience in the way they're engaging with the tools. So where we are right now is, you know, we see a better way. And we've been focused our business on really delivering a platform that helps organize, automate, and guide work in a much more intelligent way that eliminates much of this digital noise that we've been talking about and these, you know, soul-sucking tasks so that, you know, our teams and our customers' employees can really focus on driving meaningful work and, you know, creating their best outcomes and their best personal productivity. I know you saw the news about our recent launch of the Citrix Workspace with intelligent capabilities, and that's really what we're most excited about right now, because it accelerates this overall vision and it allows us to, you know, basically just rethink the way work gets done, you know, using machine learning, a lot of other new technologies to really help people be more productive, drive a higher level of engagement, and in many ways, abstract away the complexity that exists in front of end users. And so, you know, that's what we've been focused on really over the last 30 years, bringing us to this point. So I'm happy to just stop there and talk about what specific areas you'd like to drill down into.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I can only imagine that the complexity that you describe in business is a complexity that you feel as a business as well.
And I'd be curious about how the extent to which Citrix is your own lab as you contemplate the changes that you bring to market.
Yeah, I'd say if you think about complexity from an IT standpoint, you know, most of our customers are they're I describe their data center as analogous to an archaeological dig. And you know, what I've always meant by that is that it's layer upon layer of technologies because we as an industry are good at adopting new things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you can simplify what already exists. And so most customers layer these things on top. And that's the you know, that has fundamentally changed their ability to execute new business strategies, you know, drive cost cutting, drive more agility, and all the transformation that we talk about today because they're carrying so much of this burden of the past. So when I think about Citrix, I mean, there's much of what I've been focused on in the last 3 years or so in this job is really three big strategic motions. And the first one is, you know, driving an organizational and strategy shift from product to platform. Second one is really moving our products from, you know, on-premises to being cloud first. And the third one is, you know, business model shift to move from perpetual licensing to a subscription model. And across all of those three dimensions, you know, we're frankly embracing a lot of the change that many of our customers are having to do, but we're doing this in a way where we can deliver this platform that not only will help us drive our own transformation more effectively, but obviously our long-term goal of just, you know, how do we engage our end customers to, you know, free them up from all of this challenge.
That's very interesting. And yours as an organization, you know, obviously it's an important player in the broader technology landscape. And I wonder how you think of yourself in the broader ecosystem. I know yours is an organization that is often partnered with other major technology firms, major relationships historically with organizations like Microsoft and Google. How do you, as the ecosystem itself changes, how do you think about the partnership and the way in which your solutions fit into the broader landscape?
Yeah, I mean, we've long said that partnering is in our DNA. And what we mean by that is that, you know, all of our customers have different technology partners, you know, different, you know, elements of their own infrastructure. And we need to be able to interoperate with those. And you extend that by recognizing that those partners they have will change over time. So we have long tried to fight this industry trend of lock into our platform or our set of workflows and really create a set of technologies that is a bridge in many ways. So, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, we've been partners with all the major platform providers over the years and, you know, probably the longest standing and deepest partnership with Microsoft, you know, given they've been synonymous with enterprise applications. And in the cloud world, we'll work, you know, hand in hand with both Azure, GCP at Google, AWS and others for that very reason, that customers have a choice and a choice of infrastructure partners. And, you know, that choice may change over time. And so giving them that flexibility. Same thing on the application side. As applications come and go, we need to be able to provide that platform to allow the customer to adopt whatever makes most sense for their business, you know, run it, manage it, and secure it in a common way. And then as those applications change, you know, we'll help them adopt new. So it's a really interesting bridging technology, and it allows us to be, you know, digital Switzerland in a lot of ways.
And are there, as you think about, you look to the future, are there certain places, I know you have a very robust client list. You serve something like 98 or 99% of the Fortune 500. So needless to say, it's across all industries. You know, as you look to the future, as we are about to step into a new year, what are some areas that you're particularly bullish on, whether it's sectors you're hoping to serve, whether it's new areas that, you know, that for the organization, like what are some areas that excite you as you look to the future?
Well, you touched on the fact that, you know, we already work with about 400,000 medium and large enterprises around the world. So, you know, Citrix as a company and set of technologies is really broadly penetrated. And most of that is centered around virtualization over the years. And technologies like application and desktop virtualization are, you know, really powerful, but they're not always applicable to every user inside an enterprise. And what we've heard from customers over the last few years is, you know, help me address the needs of all employees, you know, figure out how we can add value, whether it's the performance of, you know, delivering of the underlying technologies, you know, securing the delivery and the actions that people are taking, or making it more universally available, you know, all the kind of value props that we've had over the years. And so what we've done with this Citrix Workspace is really about a year and a half ago, extend the journey to organizing work. And what we meant by that was that single platform to bring together all applications, all files and content repositories, and make it universally available across device, location, network, et cetera. So we've described that as organizing work. Where we are today with this new workspace with intelligence is taking that next step of really guiding work. And so the things that are enabling that to happen is a new microapps platform that we've built that allows us to really abstract away those common workflows from the underlying application. So allowing people to execute in context without the application switching and the back and forth notifications and things that happen in a traditional environment. So that's focused on driving user engagement and user productivity, and just much, much more efficiency. So very excited about where we can take that. Second thing I'm excited about is an analytics platform that we've built underneath, you know, everything that we're doing to be able to capture, you know, pretty unique insights across, you know, the network, the device, the location, the user behavior, the application, and many others, and turn that into actionable info for the customer. The first thing that we've exposed is in security analytics. Next one that we're about to expose is in performance analytics. But it's not just capturing data, it's actually acting on it in real time. So we apply AI models to that and really help, you know, make it useful. This is, again, just furthering down that path of how do we guide work to make it more productive, more secure, more available. You know, we're at the front end of these technologies now, so I'm really excited about their possibility.
You've mentioned, understandably, a couple times now the workspace with intelligence and some of the innovation that you're bringing to that. And I'm curious if you wouldn't mind going maybe a layer or two deeper into how that works. Can you talk a bit about the use case of this? Maybe with a specific example, whether you can name a company or not, specifically like what a customer would expect to experience in using this.
Sure, I'd love to. In the simplest form, what it is it's a platform for connectors to underlying applications. So we've, you know, out of the box, we'll ship, you know, a few dozen connectors to the most popular SaaS applications out there. Apps like, you know, the various applications from SAP or Workday or et cetera, that things that are just really, really ubiquitous across our customer environment. And on top of those connectors is a micro app platform where we can identify out of the box a few hundred common tasks, for example, requesting time off or approving an expense report or things like that. And then extend that with an application builder so customers can build their own micro apps. And what each one of those things will do on a practical basis is, for example, you think today, if you are a typical manager and you have to approve an expense report, what happens usually is that you'll receive an email that says, you know, your employee has just taken a trip. Click on this link and go to this application to review and approve. And so the typical person will click on that link. They'll stop what they're doing. It's part of the interruption that occurs. They'll click on that link. They'll be presented a new authentication page. They'll go through that and they'll navigate down through that application to find that expense report. Then they review it, et cetera, et cetera. What a micro app does is effectively display that notification to you in the workspace in real time. And not only allowing you to be notified of that, but you can act on it in real time. So it shows up as what we call, you know, a tile or a card. Basically, you know, you'll receive a notification that says, here's the expense report. Would you like to look at the details? Yes, it shows you, you know, right in real time. You can approve, reject, send it back for more information. So the idea is allowing people to engage in all of these common tasks in real time, in the context of the workspace that they're already working in, and also abstracting away all the complexity that comes with interacting with that application. And so, you know, that's just one common example that a lot of people are using. But the same thing goes with being able to, you know, proactively procure information out of Power BI or one of those underlying data sources, such that, you know, you never really have to leave what you're doing. You can execute the, you know, the typical things in real time.
Understood. I wanted to ask you, yours is an organization that has dual headquarters in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Santa Clara, California. And I'm curious how you, and if you have offices that, throughout the world beyond that, how do you divide up, what is divided up between your headquarters and what sorts of disciplines do you have in each?
We have offices in 26 countries, large development locations around the world. Just, you know, we've chosen to tap into different talent pools where we can, you know, have the level of critical mass, but also the most effectiveness. So if I look at Fort Lauderdale, for example, it's a combination of development, G&A, sales. It's a pretty diverse location. India is our next largest. We have about 2,000 people in India representing all of our product teams. We have development in Silicon Valley, obviously. You know, that is a combination of developing across networking, marketing, and others. But we are a virtual organization. We always have been for our 30 years. And this allows us to, you know, collaborate in real time across a pretty distributed workforce. In fact, I'm the only member of the senior leadership team that lives full time in Florida. The rest of the leadership team is distributed across, you know, across the country. But, you know, the promise of our technology to be able to allow people to work together in real time, to have access to the information and at your fingertips is, you know, it's a core brand promise. And so we live that promise.
In an age where it is so difficult to find, or more difficult than typical, given the longest bull market in U.S. history, for example, and very tight, very low unemployment within the country and so on. To talk a bit about the value proposition that you sell to would-be employees, and if you have any sort of interesting stories about the creative ways in which you've gone about finding talent.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. I mean, we're in a place right now where, according to McKinsey, we're going to be in a shortage of nearly 100 million medium and high skilled workers in the next couple of years. And it's pretty staggering. And certainly when I talk to my peers, access to talent, especially technical talent, is one of those areas that is going to inhibit growth, at least growth potential in most industries. And so, you know, let me talk about it from a customer point of view and give you a real example. We have one of the really big web-based commerce properties, and, you know, headquartered in Silicon Valley, it has used our technology platform as a way to really, it started with insourcing a lot of their customer support operations that have been outsourced offshore somewhere. They used our technology platform to tap into a home force of folks that wouldn't be considered as, you know, typical employee population or employment pool, because they only wanted to work for, you know, some subset of hours during the day, whether that's by personal choice, healthcare, care for aging parents, or a whole host of reasons. So they leveraged the workspace as a way to, you know, really create this home force. And so they have insourced, you know, all of their customer care operations, and they're leveraging this to go and find those people. And it's been a great use case, because it shows not only the benefits for, you know, that group of people that may not have been even eligible to drive into an office can now have, you know, really important employment. And at the same time, it allows, you know, this business to operate in, you know, in a way where they're competing for a different type of worker. And so we try to leverage the same, you know, the same type of things. And we have a lot of people that are distributed around the world that work remotely. And, you know, we try to go and find the best regardless of their location. It's always a challenge. I mean, collaboration is hard and you have to work at it. And without the right tools, it's frankly impossible.
And I wonder if we've talked about a number of trends that you're riding and driving in some cases as well. As you look, say, 2, 3, 5 years out, are there others that are making their way onto your roadmap, either personally or professionally, that you would call out?
I mean, the big trends. I mean, from a business standpoint, we're following a couple of things. One of them is what we just talked about. There's scarcity of labor. It's becoming harder and harder to, you know, attract the right level of employee. The second is about retention and engagement. I think it was Gallup that has done some work on employee engagement, and they found that, you know, more than half of typical employees, actually like 3/4, are disengaged at work. And when they put a price tag on it, it runs into the trillions. And, you know, we have a point of view that says that part of the reason that this low level of engagement is that people are just not given the right tools to be successful. And, you know, the typical human being just wants to be able to contribute and drive, you know, personal productivity and team success and things that, you know, make them feel valuable. And, but we've given these people tools historically that turn knowledge workers into task workers. And so part of our mission is to fix that problem, to, you know, abstract away the complexity that exists in today's environment, to remove all this digital noise and distraction, and to allow people the space to be productive, to do great work. So those are the trends that, you know, we're embracing from a business standpoint. The other side is really interesting because we see these waves of disruption that are coming, you know, much more rapidly and with higher amplitude than ever before. And some of those are just related to the state of technology today, but also the advancements that we've seen across whether it's compute, connectivity, you know, data creation, et cetera. You know, I believe personally we're rapidly entering this era that will be described more as the contextual era, where the businesses that succeed are going to be those that can provide the right contextual information at people's fingertips at the right time to address, you know, business opportunities as they arrive. And that means that, you know, we've heard a lot of these terms that a lot of the industry analysts use, you know, the liquid enterprise and those that are just much more dynamic and flexible. I think those will be the ones that succeed in this next generation of technology. And so, you know, we see where we can enable these inevitable trends. And, you know, we're trying to tap into them at the same time.
Excellent. Well, David, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great conversation. Great to hear about your own journey, what you foresee for the future for your organization that looks like an exciting year ahead.
Now I'm excited about it. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Sri Santhanam, the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Global Analytics and Artificial Intelligence at Experian.